And welcome back to Ghost to Ghost. Good to have you with us. Bill Bean, and of course, the spiritual warrior and exorcist is going to join us. He'll be popping in this hour as well. We'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast and Ghost to Ghost AM.
There is magic in the night when pumpkins glow by moonlight. Happy Halloween from Dr. Sky.
Dr. Sky appears on Mondays on our program, of course, with great stories of astronomy, and he's one of the best. And welcome back to Ghost. Let's go to the calls. Claudia in Wickliffe, Ohio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Claudia.
Hi, George. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, I'm glad you are. What do you have for us tonight?
Okay, well, actually, I get up every morning at 4:30 to go to work. I'm fortunate enough I took Friday off, thank God, because I would not be able to do this.
Okay.
I set my clocks. They're all set for, I have three of them in my room, for 4:30 every morning. I never change them. Oh, this one particular year, which was about 3 years ago, all three clocks went off at 3 a.m., for no apparent reason. I thought it was kind of strange. I wasn't getting any sleep then because I couldn't go back to sleep. I was falling asleep at work. So I didn't think twice about it, and I had a very close friend that was very sick. Well, after the third day, her husband had called me up and said that she's going in for surgery at 3 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
That's one incident, and the second incident just happened this past September. I had a very close friend, a coworker that had passed, and my clocks, again, went off at 2:45 a.m., all three of them. And,
jeez.
I couldn't put the two together, you know, what was going to happen, because she wasn't at work, but I didn't think twice. I mean, it's something that you just don't know.
Right.
So I after the third day, I received a message that she had passed on, and I had gone to the wake. She was cremated, and I had asked her daughter, I said, what time did your mother pass? Her mother had passed at 4:45, and the clocks were going off at 2:45. So I just thought that was very creepy. Something made that happen. I don't know what, but it was a sign.
Yeah. Was there a time change?
No, there was no time change at all yet. Our time changes actually this Sunday, I think.
Yep, Saturday night into Sunday morning.
Or I think next Sunday, rather, because today's November 1st. Yeah.
No, I think it's. Are you sure? I thought it was this coming weekend.
I don't know. I'll have to check. I'm on the East Coast in Cleveland, so it could be. I don't know. I'll have to check the newspaper. Yeah, maybe it is. You're probably right. But no, this just happened in September. And then 3 years ago, so this was really something. So these are signs of some sort. I don't know what, but I don't know if you want to call it a gift or what, but it was some kind of a sign.
There's a message there for sure, Claudia.
Sure thing, yes.
And the time switch is Saturday night into Saturday. Actually, Sunday at 2 a.m. So Saturday night when you go to bed, make sure you, right before that, you
turn. Oh, yeah, then it is. Okay.
Spring ahead, fall back, as we say.
Yes.
Take it back an hour. I don't know why they just don't keep it on one time and just keep it that way instead of changing it all the time. So let's go to Mohammed driving in Tennessee. Mohammed, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, George. I love your show.
You thank know. You, sir.
Long time listener, and you are the best, you know. So you make all the truck drivers happy, I can tell you that.
Well, you guys keep America going, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you. You know, I have a few of the ghost stories, but I like to talk about one of the good ones first.
All right.
If you give me a chance, I can tell you later another one. So, you know, I drive normally from 9 o'clock, sometimes 10 o'clock, to go to from Georgia, Atlanta area, to Birmingham, Alabama, Nashville. So one day I was going to Birmingham, and Highway 20, going to the Birmingham, and it was a rainy day, and I always looking for ghosts. I'm a magician. I'm an entertainer in the act of magic since long time.
Yeah.
And I'm also a member of the Society of American Musicians. So first of all, before I tell you the story, I like to give a respect to Harry Houdini. You know, Harry Houdini passed away in Halloween.
He sure did, in Detroit.
Yeah, we all always, you know, when I was in New York, I used to go to Harry Houdini's grave.
Really?
Yeah, we have a lot of musicians came there and we do some ritual. We believe Harry Houdini is going to, you know, come back to life and show us a great escape art magic. But anyway, now I'm in Georgia since 2003. You know, when I was going to Birmingham anyway, a lot of people may be waiting for a story. So let me finish my mind.
Yeah, please.
When I was going to Birmingham, Highway 20, I always look in the road, but sometimes, you know, you see the sights, the trees. And I was looking, I saw a person, no head, you know, moving up and down. And I have a goosebump, you know, my hair and everything. I pray God. God, please help me, what's that? And I was so shocked, and I keep looking, and I'm driving like a 60 mile an hour, and thank God it's gone, and I look in the mirror, I still saw that person, no head.
Whoa, no head.
Yeah, then after I'm praying, you know, after I acknowledge myself, say, oh, you know, I'm a very religious guy, the ghost not gonna, cannot hurt me. So, you know, so when I was coming back at 4 o'clock a.m., I feel a little bit sleepy.
Sure.
You know, I'm driving truck. I cannot sleep. So I feel sleepy. Then I feel chill in my truck, my body. And sorry about that. And I feel something in my right side seat. You know, I'm a what do you call cap, not a sleeping cap. Day cap. So I feel something, you know, some pressure in the right side of the seat. And when I was falling a little bit sleepy, I'm dozing off, I said, oh no, I cannot sleep. I'm going to pull over next exit. Then, you know, what happened? Miracle happened, my God. My father, I saw my father pushing me, calling my name. So wake up, come on.
Wow, you would have fallen asleep.
Yeah, my father. I see my father, don't afraid, son. I saw you myself when you were going, remember? You were afraid, right? I said, oh yeah, yeah. What happened? And as soon as he hit me with his hand and wake me up, and I just disappeared.
Your father came back to save you, Mohammed, to be sure. Thanks for that. Let's go to Pat now in Talmadge, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hi, Patricia. Hello? Nope, nobody's there. But Bill Bean, our spiritual warrior, is with us. He is an exorcist as well. Hey, Bill, welcome back to Ghost to Ghost.
Hi, Brother George. Thank you for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Oh, you too. What's new with you?
Oh, it has increased, George. I am traveling more than ever. You know, now it's two trips a week, and it's just incredible. I just got back from Detroit and saw two families there. God worked through me to help them, and I praise God for that. But, George, this is really increasing. I'll tell you, I'm really seeing an uptick in this. And I helped a lady a few days ago in Texas that she was fully possessed. Oh, dear God. You should have just... Her eyes went totally white. The face was contorting in ways that a human face can't. And I'm happy to tell you that God worked through me to free that woman. But boy, oh boy, did she ever have some serious demonic possession going on.
What causes these demonic possessions, Bill?
Well, George, there's a variety of things that can cause it. And I find in a lot of my cases over the years now, there seems to be, to me, there seems to be one common thread here or something that is more prevalent than anything else, and it seems to go back into childhood, and it stems from trauma, and whether that trauma is child molestation or some type of constant physical and mental abuse, something that is causing a high level of trauma. And when a person is exposed to that level of trauma, you know, these demons are not only on the perpetrator, but then they unfortunately come on to the victim after these wicked and heinous acts take place. And I'm sorry to say that it requires someone like me, God working through me, because I'm nothing special, George, nor do I claim to be. It's just the power of God working through me. But it requires that in order for the person to be free. And it's the greatest thing in the world in knowing that God actually worked through me to free a person. But it's so sad, especially when the person has suffered for many, many years carrying that kind of
burden. Oh, my God, it destroys them. What do they look like physically, Bill, these people who have been possessed? I mean, are they a wreck?
Absolutely, and just totally disheveled. And a lot of times when the possession is taking place, I've seen people's eyes go all white. I've seen their eyes go all black. I've seen their eyes go red. And in one case, in San Diego years ago, I saw a lady's eyes go like a greenish, yellowish color with reptilian slits in the eyes.
Oh, my God.
That was the only time I ever saw that. But and God worked through me to deliver that woman. And my goodness, I'll never forget it, that's for sure. So I've also seen people foam at the mouth. I have seen them levitate. I have felt superhuman strength from these people that are demon-filled, and it is only by the power of God that helped me to be able to control the situation. So I've been in situations like that many times. I've also heard voices that come out of these people that are not their voice. And in the case of several cases involving females, there's been a deep male voice coming out of some of these individuals. And in one female in particular I'm thinking of right off the top of my head, oh, George, there must have been at least 20 different voices coming out of this woman.
20 different voices? My
yeah.
God.
And,
so does that mean there were 20 different entities
yeah.
that attached to her?
And
okay.
It was one of the most exhausting exorcisms that I'd ever performed in my life. And I was binding and rebuking and casting them out one by one. So as I'm casting one out, another one manifests.
And you're probably figuring, when does this end? My gosh.
Yes, and believe you me, by the time it was over with, I was totally exhausted. I had nothing left. And I was thanking it, praising God for working through me to free that woman, because that I will never, ever forget that. This stuff just stays with you. And, you know, it's something that, you know, when this takes place, after it's over, yes, I'm drained. There are times that I would leave that residence, and it could be, you know, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would just go to a diner or something like that and just sit there in a daze, just my head in my hands, just trying to collect myself. And then, you know, God always has a way of bringing me back and recharging me, but it's not something that I come home and talk to my wife about and say, oh, you know, here's what happened.
Yeah, here's my day at the office, right.
Yeah, exactly. So it is certainly something that you don't come home and share those types of details. And it's George, we've talked about this before, and it's worth repeating again, that this is a calling from God. I didn't choose this. God chose me to do this, and God works through me to do this. So this is not for just anybody.
And do you find these possessions to be on the uptick these days, Bill?
Very much so. And I also find that it seems to be getting more and more violent in nature as well. So I'm encountering more and more of these types of violent, where you know, these entities get inside of some of these people, and they attack, and they harm people. They don't even realize they're doing it because, you know, when these demonic entities enter into someone like that, they are literally disconnecting that person's mind and actions from the body. So it's this external force that's plugging in and taking over. They've just got a host body to carry out a variety of damage, and sometimes that is physical damage.
Is that what they want? They want to do this carnage by taking over the body?
Yes, absolutely, George. So the objective of the devil and his demons, it is to kill, rob, and destroy.
They need a body to do this with, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, and again, this is why I urge people, look, am I perfect? No, nor do I claim to be. But I try to be a good man, and I try to do the best that I can do, and I try to be the best that I can be each and every day of my life, because I have to be somebody to and for somebody every day of my life. So I urge others, you know, when I'm going to help them, to try and follow this path. And I have, literally, I have step-by-step instruction for people to say, look, you know, it is imperative that you, again, follow along in this, because the devil never stops. You know, even though God's worked through me to remove him from your life, it doesn't mean that he can't come back. And so we really have to be on guard at all times to keep those doorways closed, to keep the person free, because the scripture says that once a person is delivered, you know, from evil, if the person does something to open that doorway again, seven more wicked than the original will come back. So, my goodness, you know, who would want to endure that?
When you go through these exorcisms, are you drained afterwards?
Totally, George. There is nothing left. I mean, nothing. And it takes a little while. And I always thank God and praise God for having a way to recharge me. And I'll give you, for instance, I had a brutal week last week travel-wise. It started out in Seattle, and I had to help a family of four out there, wonderful people, and I'm so happy for them. They're doing well now.
Good.
They sent me a very nice message, and boy, I'm so, so happy and thankful to God for helping them. But they were having severe problems, and they had been suffering for a long time. So I left them on very little sleep. And then from there, it was to New York, and I had to help four more people there.
It's a long flight.
It was just unbelievable. And then, you know, on the way home, I was just totally drained, just trying to really – it takes a little while to come back. I mean, again, people really – it's hard for me in words to describe this. And you know, people can't fully understand what I'm saying, but – when you're involved in things like this, and again, this is the power of God working through me to do it, but by his power working through me in that way, and of course I'm putting effort forth as well, this is just, it's all in. And so when you're all in, there's nothing left. You're leaving it all right
there. That's right. Well, you got to be careful. I think that's what got Edgar Cayce when he was in those trance states as well. Bill, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Halloween as it is almost over. And thank you so much. We're going to come back with more of your ghost-to-ghost calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next program, of course, Star Casas joins us to talk about divination, and then we'll have those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And, of course, before Tom tells us about the free episode that you can get on beyondbelief.com, he's got an email that just came in. What do you have, Tommy?
Oh, man. Email from John in Philadelphia. I was sleeping one night after a hard day's work when a strange sound in my kitchen made me wake up. I went into the kitchen to see an apparition of a bloodied man in prison clothes staring at me. All of a sudden, he opened his mouth and screamed, "Get me out of here, please. Give me the keys. You have the power to let me go." What creeps me out is I work as a prison guard. Whoa. Oh, man.
Cornelius would like that story.
Oh, man.
This is J.C. Webster saying, how dare you celebrate Halloween? It's the devil's birthday. Are you going to sing him happy birthday, dear devil? How dare you?
Only Only JC could do that. I don't know how Tom got that. That's funny. Well, welcome back. George Norrie with you, and this is our final segment for Ghost to Ghost for this year. And Tommy was telling me that Halloween next year is on a Saturday, so we need to figure out how we're going to do that. I guess we'll bring the whole crew in on a Saturday to do that. Let's go to the phones, though. First-time caller, Jim the Plumber is in New Jersey. Hello, Jim.
Hi, George.
Thanks for holding so long. My gosh.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I feel like I won the lottery.
I love it. What do you got for us, Jim the Plumber?
Well, this happened to me when I was about 18 years old. My father had died. I took over his plumbing business. So I got a call one day from a... She sounded like an elderly woman, and she needed her sewer cleaned in her house.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, sure, I'll come right over, because I needed the money. And she goes, well, I just want to tell you one thing before you come here. The house is haunted.
Oh, boy.
I said, I needed the money. I was only 18 years old.
Yeah.
I was married, just married. And we were, you know, my wife and I were struggling. So I said, I'll be right over. So I went. It was like in an old part in a town, right next to the town I live in. And it's a pretty old, rundown town. And the house, it's actually similar to my house I live in. They're built around the turn of the century.
And they don't build them that way anymore, do they?
No, it was kind of, it was a typical old, like just a real simple wood house with a little porch on the front, nothing.
Couple bedrooms.
Yep, nope. So I went in, and so I bring my sewer machine in, which weighed about close to 80 pounds, 80, 90 pounds.
Wow.
And I was by myself that day because my helper didn't come in. So I carried it into the house, and I asked her, is there an outside door to the basement? She goes, nope, you have to go through the kitchen. So I brought it through the kitchen. I went down the steps, and I asked her where I could plug it in because I couldn't see any outlets. She says, I have to turn the light on. So she turned the light on. The light switch was on the top of the stairs. It was like, and a lot of the, you know, in those days, that's most of the houses were like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and when she turned the light on, I saw the outlet for the plug was like, you know, in the same fixture as the light. So I plugged my extension in and plugged my sewer machine in. And I started cleaning the sewer, and I maybe about a couple of minutes in, power went off, the basement went dark. I heard like giggling, sound like kids giggling, like, you know, laughing. So I went back up the stairs, and the switch was off at the top of the stairs. So I put the switch back on. I went back down, hooked my machine up again, and started again. Sure enough, a couple of minutes later, cellar goes black again. And I hear the same, like sound like small kids. It's like laughing. So this happened two or three times.
They're playing a little game with you.
Yeah. Around the fourth time, actually, I was really starting to get a little pissed off. So I went up the stairs. And I said, ma'am, I said, if you don't have your kids stop shutting the switch off, I'm not going to be able to do the job for you. I said, please tell them to stop. She goes, there's no kids here. She goes, those are the kids that died in the fire in the house.
Oh. Yeah. Did you freak out?
Yep. So I said, I started to go back down the cellar, and I said, you know what, the hell with it. I don't need the money that bad right now.
And off you went.
No, I told her, I said, ma'am, I have to go out for some parts. I'll be back in a little bit. She says, you're not coming back, honey. I said, I'll be back. But I never went back. And
never
actually, I had other customers in the area. And for the next couple of years, I actually avoided driving by that house anymore.
That's something. And did your father teach you how to be a plumber?
Yep. I worked with him, you know, before he passed away. But my father wasn't scared of anything. He was a tough old Navy guy.
Yeah.
We worked in funeral homes. We worked in mortuaries. We worked like some places you wouldn't believe. I kind of carried on with it. My father would never work like in the area like which we lived, which was in Essex County, New Jersey. and we have a lot of poor areas in this county.
Sure.
And my father would never work in this county. He would always go up to, like, richer counties in the state.
How old were you, Jimmy, when you started working with him? Like 16 or something?
I was about 16, yep. And then when he died, I was 18 going on 19.
Did you stay married to the same girl?
Yep. My wife and I.
That's amazing. That doesn't happen very often.
Nope. And 5 years ago, I had to give up my business because, unfortunately, I had a stroke.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank God, I got a good wife and I got a good daughter, and they stuck by me.
Good for you, Jimmy. Well, thanks for being part of the program.
Well, thank you. I enjoy you every night. I listen to you every night. I can't go to sleep if I don't listen to your show.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. That's a great American there, hard worker. Barry's in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hello, Bear.
Hello there, George. Happy Halloween, buddy.
You too, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing just great. What do you think? But that was a good story, the last caller.
Loved it. Loved them all. They're all great.
Yes, exactly. I tell you, we talked about it before, but you've just got the greatest callers, the greatest guests. I mean, buddy. You got it going on, George. As a matter of fact, I was telling Tommy, I don't want to be reincarnated as a cow or a goose anymore. I want to be reincarnated as you. I mean, you had the greatest life. I'm telling you, you've got some memories that will never be lost.
Well, I got to pass on, though, before you can reincarnate as me, and I ain't leaving anytime soon.
I'm feeling I'll be long gone when you go. But anyway, I was talking about the Ouija board you were talking about a little bit ago. And
yeah.
If you remember, just Monday night, we talked about Richard Serrett and I talking last Friday night on Open Lines about the Ouija board. And I'm surprised either Parker Brothers or I forget who makes the Ouija board.
I think it's Parker Brothers.
I think so, too. And I love the Monopoly game and Risk and all that. But I'm telling you, I had a bad experience when I was about 12 or 13. And Martha, my wonderful wife, as you know, she won't even go in a house if she knows there's a Ouija board in there.
You know what? I don't blame her at all. Karen Dahlman, who's been a great guest of ours over the years, loves the Ouija boards. I mean, this girl sleeps with one.
I know it, and that's what drives me crazy is so many people that have positive things, and to me, it's just demonic. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's something wrong with me, but something scared me the first time I ever did it. Martha said that she did it probably about three times, and she knew that she didn't want anything to do with it ever again.
Smart wife there, Barry.
Okay, buddy, I'll let you go. You and Tommy doing open lines tonight?
Yeah, we're doing open lines Friday night.
No problem. I'll call you tonight.
All right, my friend. Be well. Barry out there, good guy. Let's go to Lynn in Vancouver. Welcome to the program. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my
You're
call.
You're very
Happy
welcome.
Halloween.
You too. Did you have a good one?
Yeah, and I just chose to be calm, although I must say that even at this hour, my neighborhood is still... the sounds of the crackling fireworks and lights in the sky sporadically are still occurring.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. St. Louis didn't have much at all. I put in a couple hours before I had to get to the cave for the show, and it was so cold, there weren't a lot of kids out, that's for sure.
Well, it was pretty chilly here, but it's a beautiful clear night. Stars are out in the city. You can see them. It's lovely. And so this is when Vancouverites do their fireworks when it's not raining.
Wow. It's pretty late, though, isn't it?
Pardon me?
It's late.
Yes, it is, actually. And I'm kind of giggling away because I'm thinking, wow, usually people are pretty cool. But, you know, around midnight or so, it kind of settles down. But there are a lot of little parks in my neighborhood. So I think some people, you know, the kids especially, might be going to the open spaces and doing their little parties a little late.
Yep. Having a great old time.
Yeah, I can't really see it, but you can sure hear it.
Every
once in a while, you see a little sparkle go, and you're like, "Oh, it's over there."
What's your favorite Halloween moment?
Oh, okay. I dressed up as a blue specter and went, which was a $2 blue poncho, and then I made a little mask out of an old sweatshirt or something, so my face was covered. You couldn't tell who I was, and, you know, wore this blue poncho, but
yeah.
Went as a blue specter. But throughout the evening, I would, like, I had a hat. Like, to get there, I took a bus, and I thought, I can't go on the bus with this. So I put everything fit into a small paper bag, and it fit in my inside jean jacket pocket, and I had a baseball hat on, so I could just, you know, go incognito into the bar, go into the bathroom, change, come out the blue, you know, the faceless blue specter. Of course, the band that was playing were really good friends of mine, and I'd seen them plenty of times, and I tried not to dance the way I usually danced, because I thought they might actually recognized me just from the dancing, but the music's too good, and I had to let it rip, and they recognized me from the dancing, and one by one, I could, you know, I could see them through the set sort of realizing it was me, and I said nothing, and I actually said nothing that night. People I knew would come up to me and try and speak to me, and I wouldn't use my voice because I knew they'd recognize me. At the end of the night, I zipped into the bathroom, changed back into the baseball hat and the jean jacket and put everything back in the paper bag inside my jacket pocket. And there was about 8 or 9 women that came in literally after me. And they were all going, do you know who that was? Like, you know, and then I walked out of the bathroom, but it's me. There's no blue specter.
Right.
And then I went back out to the bar. And of course, after it was all over, you know, the band members came over and said, hi, how are you? You know, we recognized you finally because of your dancing. And I'm like, yeah, happy Halloween, right? You know, and then end of the night. And I think that is probably my most favorite Halloween night.
That's super.
Thanks for asking, George.
Love it. All right, thank you, Lynn. Don't forget, we've got open lines tomorrow night, too. I think one of the things I'll do for an open line topic tomorrow night, because this is just for fun, in addition to your calls, is to talk about old-time toys that we used to have as kids. And because I don't know if they have them anymore. And I'm not talking about board games. I mean, they've got those still. But old-time toys, because one of our callers was talking about the rubber duck that they used to pull with a string, and it would, you know, quack, quack, stuff like that. Let's go next. It's how much time do we have? Oh, we might not have that much time. Let's go to Annie in Alabama. Annie, only have a minute left.
George, this is a ghost story. My mother went to see Dr. Meyer in Birmingham, and I was with her, and he got tied up in surgery for hours and hours trying to save a boy's leg, and things were getting really rough, and Dr. Dartrell happened to walk in and began to assist him, as Dr. Dartrell always did. So he came into the office very late, and my mother was still sitting there with me, and she said, I'm sorry, I got tied up in surgery. If Dr. Dartrell had not come in and helped me, I would have still been in there. And my mother said, didn't you know Dr. Dartrell died last week?
Oh, my gosh. I love that story. Annie, thanks for that indeed. So tomorrow on Coast to Coast, we're going to be talking about divination for the first couple hours. That's kind of fascinating. And then we'll have those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. Also, I'll be on Sunday night, the first Sunday of every night, with emerging artists and some special guests. And the holiday schedule, just so you know it, we are live on Thanksgiving night, Christmas Eve, Christmas night, New Year's Eve, New Year's night. And then we get the 2020 rolling, and hey, we'll do it and keep going from there. But wanted to thank all of you for participating in our annual Ghost to Go show. Hope you enjoyed it. We did. We had a lot of fun. Special thanks to Dan Galante and Tom Danheiser for the work they did. And for Dan Galante and Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.